Sandwiches Podcast. We got Cream Ales with Anderson Valley, Pelican, Pub and Brewery, in 6 Point. Yeah. Dig it.
It's always good when you underestimate beer.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear. Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
This is not a science class.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. This is Mike from Boston. And my co-host is...
Yeah. Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, that's right. From coast to coast. So, this week, what are we drinking?
Cream.
That's right. Non-stop. That's right, cream ales.
We're drinking the cream of the hop, baby. Yeah.
That's right.
Except for I have a feeling that these aren't going to be very hoppy.
Well, we'll see. I think one of mine's going to be pretty hoppy.
Oh, yeah?
You know, relatively speaking. Now, for our fermentation conversation, we're going to try Anderson Valley's Summer Solstice Cerveza Crema.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you know what? Let's just jump right into it here. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. Break 'em all 'cause
you are the best. This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take over here, and I'm going to give you the stats on the Cerveza Crema. So this is the summer release beer from Anderson Valley Brewing Company. It's the Summer Solstice Cerveza Crema. They're out of Boonville, California, which is in Mendocino County. They've been brewing since 1987, back in the day.
This is actually almost like our farewell to summer beer. I guess we still have another show or two before it's bye-bye summer. But this is probably the last of the summer solstice. If you pick it up, it's pretty much the last of it. It won't be brewed again until...
Yeah.
The following spring, I think.
You can find out more info or check out the other beers from Anderson Valley at www.avbc.com. The Summer Solstice is a cream ale. Comes in at 5% ABV with a whopping 4 IBUs. That's
wow.
Right. 4 IBUs. Let's see if we can detect 4 IBUs, Mike, right?
Yeah, let's see.
See if you can pick up on those.
Yeah, I think I get more than that if I touch my tongue to the can here.
So it could get any ingredients, so let's go ahead and crack it.
Yes, and I will pop my top. I have a can, and Toby has, oh, crap.
Did you spill
again? No, I didn't. Yeah,
so Mike's got the can, I got the bottle.
Yeah, got a 6-pack of this. And I have to say that Renee actually liked this one because I went back into the fridge and out of the 6-pack, there was only this one left.
Ooh.
So
tell her, watch out. It's my FC beer.
I know, I got lucky. But I did have an older one. I actually have the... one from a little while back left over, so I could have done an older one, but I was a little worried about its freshness, so I'm glad I got this one.
So on the pour, it's a nice copper color.
Yeah, it's quite clear.
I got about a finger of head.
Chill haze going on, but
yeah,
not much.
The head is sustaining fairly well, I would say.
I would say so, too.
On the nose... Caramel, toasted caramel.
Yeah, a lot of, like, a buttery caramel.
Even some grassiness. Toasted grain, a little bit of honey, maybe?
Yeah, they have... Mm. A lot of their beers have that very buttery, honey kind of aroma to it. And then the flavor, too, most of the time. Taking a sip, yeah!
Smooth.
Very smooth, very creamy.
Yeah.
It's got a very... it's that buttery caramel thing going on.
It's very, yeah, it's just that very, like, soft creaminess that gives it almost like a, almost like a raw, dough kind of,
yeah,
I don't know, aftertaste or stickiness or something. It's like a buttery caramel, like a Cinnabon without the cinnamon.
right, there's no cinnamon. It's actually like a vanilla aspect to this, almost. Like a creamy vanilla.
Yeah. There's good carbonation, but it doesn't come over in the mouthfeel. Like, it's very smooth and very drinkable and sweet.
It's not too hoppy at all. It's all kind of a rich kind of smooth maltiness. But you know, we always talk about maltiness being like grainy or bready and biscuity and crackerish.
Yeah.
This is like cake. You know what I mean? as far as grains go, I mean, it's like cake.
I was thinking cake. like a almost like a plain donut, you mm-hmm. know? Like that, like a cake, this, a plain like a, cake donut.
Yeah, or like a pound cake or plain cake donut. Yeah, something like that.
Hmm. Forget the coffee. And dip your donut in this.
That's right.
Forget your Dunkin'.
Forget your Dunkin'.
We don't need dunks.
Dip your donut in this.
Food pairing, are we going with donuts?
No, you know, I had a food pairing, but now after trying this sitting here, like, I kind of want to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I could deal with, like, just, like, a plate of fries or something at a bar with this beer, or even go all out and do, like, a bacon cheddar fries kind of thing.
Yeah,
to have
that
kind of... You know, some creamy some beer with something fries. Like that. Yeah, something seasoned. Because I think kind of something peppery would be nice mm-hmm. with this beer to kind of balance it. Because you get such a smooth, creamy beer. And then to complement it with something salty and peppery would be good. Kind of that sweet, salty goodness.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you on that.
Even like those salt and pepper potato chips. You ever had those?
Yeah,
something like that would go good with this beer too. Bar snacks, a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the candy creaminess of this. Winter Solstice is another one that's like probably one of my favorites from them. But the Summer Solstice is actually surprisingly a lot like the Winter Solstice. It's just a very lighter version.
Under my cap, it says Sally. Yes, yes, yes. Harry, I'll have what she's having.
Oh, Harry met Sally.
Even though Harry wasn't the one who said that in the movie,
that's right.
But all right, that's cool. You couldn't say like "woman in restaurant." It wouldn't have fit under the cap. I don't think. Oh, and Anderson Valley Brewing Company is solar powered. Woohoo!
That's right.
Okay, Rate Beer gave this a 58 out of 100 with a 94 to style in the cream ale category. With a B from the Beer Advocate users and a B+ from the Alstrom Brothers.
Wow. Not too shabby.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Time once again for some Hop Topics. Toby.
Hit me!
So this actually, I found this on Google+. Lee Williams from Hoptopia. He posted a link to this. It's called 8 Beers Americans No Longer Drink. And this comes from MSNBC.com. So what they talk about here is they get this information from 24/7 Wall Street. 247wallstreet.com. WALLST.com. And they're talking about 8 beers, like 8 of the most popular beers that have been popular, you know, in the past like 10 years, but over the past 5 years have been dramatically declining in sales. What's one of the funny parts is that like Budweiser, the regular old Budweiser beer, is dropping in sales, but the light beers are actually on the rise. So it's like people are turning away from beers like Budweiser and MGD, and they're going for like low calorie beers or craft beer, which I thought was kind of interesting. But so they break it down into just like eight of the basically the biggest decline in sales that they've noticed since basically from like 2006 to 2010 is like where they get these sales figures from. So number eight is Budweiser. They dropped 30% in sales since 2006. They only sold 18 million barrels.
Only 18 million. Oh, man, yeah. I feel so sorry for those guys. So, wait, let me do the math. Before you go through the rest, I'm going to do the math here. So, okay. 18 million barrels, and it's $19.84 per case. Mm-hmm. So, you get... how many cases is it per barrel?
Well, 24 beers per case, and per barrel you get like basically 140 beers per... Well, not per barrel, that's per half barrel, per keg. So you're looking at like roughly 300 beers.
Yeah. I did the math here, and basically, so all they made, these poor guys, I just want to mention, was a 4 billion... $856,832,000.
That's all they 30% made. 30% drop.
So yeah, we should all feel sorry for Anheuser-Busch right now. Yeah, let's have a little moment of silence.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. All right. number seven being Milwaukee's Best Light with a 34% sales loss, and that's Miller Coors. They only sold 1.3 million barrels in 2010. Oh,
they're going to have to be homeless. They're going to make their own houses out of their own empty case boxes. Yeah, 100 million. Number six, Miller, a genuine draft, a.k.a. MGD. Sales loss between 2006 and 2010 was minus 51%.
Wow.
Crazy. And that 51% being only 1.8 million barrels.
What I thought was interesting, they put a little, you know, thing about MGD after that saying that, you know, it's Miller Coors, it's unpasteurized, but basically it's Miller High Life that's just been treated differently post-brewing. So it's like cold filtered instead of, and so there's no pasteurization, like a... You know, it's unpasteurized, whatever. So that's basically, it's an unpasteurized version of Miller High Life, which I never knew.
Yeah. And you wouldn't or be really able to care. Tell in the taste either. Yeah.
Right.
Especially when it's ice cold.
That's right. Or when you're drinking it out of a Fody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, the High Life, of course. Or, they do MGD 40s?
Out of a keg, out of plastic cups in some beach somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's next here? Number five?
Yeah.
Old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's right. Also, or like a little, actually 1% more than MGD, but it's minus 52%. That's only 525,000 barrels. That's it.
525,000?
Yeah, I messed that up, didn't I? 525. I can't even say it. Say that for me.
525,000.
There you go. You said it. I don't know why I couldn't get that out. I'm just so appalled by this. Oh, yeah. They're like whining about the sales.
Number four with a 53% loss. Milwaukee's Best. Not the Milwaukee's Best Light, but the Milwaukee's Best. Only 925,000 barrels were sold in 2010. That's also Miller Coors. So not only, I mean, we're not just seeing, it looks like Miller Coors is taking the biggest hit here so far, just in the top eight. Right. It's all been Miller Coors except for Budweiser so far at number 8.
Well, see, now, what I didn't realize is this whole thing where you talked about Budweiser being number 8, that's just Budweiser, just that one particular
beer. Just that
beer,
right.
That's insane that it was that many barrels of just that one particular beer. And I think, personally, that the problem with Budweiser is it's competing with itself. I mean, how many Budweiser products, just Budweiser, with the Budweiser name? You got Budweiser, Bud Light, you know, Budweiser Select, Bud Ice, Bud
Wheat.
Dry, Bud Wheat, Bud Silver, Bud Extra, Bud... Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Golden Wheat, Bud Light 66 calorie, Budweiser American Ale. Don't forget about that new one on the market.
Oh, yeah.
This one cracks me up. Budweiser Brewmaster's Private Reserve. All right. And this is just Budweiser. So it's like,
yeah,
you're competing with yourself here, like trying to eat up all the shelf space.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. Just putting as much out there as they can. It's almost like a monopoly, you know, it seems like, where they're taking up. It's and when they give this much variety, is it really that much? I mean, yes, I guess.
No, but there's like a lime philosophy is that they say that if there's more choices that people will buy more, but this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's way too much. And this is just Budweiser. That's not including, you know, Michelob and Busch and Rolling Rock and you know, the Natural Lights and
mm-hmm.
Don't forget your King Cobras and your Hurricane and stuff like that, too. But
yep.
It's ridiculous. There's just way too much. And I'd be very, very curious to see how the recipes, how different they are from one another, you know?
Right. I was just going to say that. It's like, okay, do they just take Budweiser and add some lime to, or Bud Light, add lime to it and like go, okay, it's Bud, well, obviously, I mean, it's Bud Light Lime, obviously, yeah. So it is, it's Bud Light
but
with
is the
lime.
Golden
you
Wheat,
know?
Is it the same exact recipe, except they're just using the wheat malts, you know, is it the same kind of down, I mean, it's still all, like, is rice, you know, a product in every single one of these? Probably yes, right?
Yeah.
It's Budweiser but, that's rice, know. Right? And most of them do corn, but I think Budweiser is rice. I don't know. It's just
got to lighten that flavor.
Yeah. And well, got to get more beer for your buck, right? Especially when you're only selling like 18 million barrels.
Yeah.
all right, let's do the final three here.
More rice. We need more rice.
Number 3, Bud Select. I don't even know they still had this.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was still out
so
there.
So their sales lost minus 60%.
Don't tell Jay-Z that.
925,000 barrels. It's these numbers
lost.
Are just astronomical, and I know their sales are down, but you know what? You got good quality beers that are up and coming, and people are getting wise to it. You know, that's the way I see it.
Yep,
we're not gonna be fooled anymore.
Number 2, Michelob Light, with a 64% loss, 525,000 barrels sold in 2010. Back in the day, that was the big battle. It was like Michelob Light and Miller Light. Those were like the two.
Yep.
That was before Bud Light, I think, because it was Miller Light was the first one, and I think Michelob Light came out to compete with Miller Light, and then after that, I think they went to Bud Light came out.
Yeah. And I think they kind of changed their tune, the Michelob, too, because that was always kind of almost marketed as like their almost like their higher end product with the Michelob.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
You know, that higher end. And now even they try to do that with the Michelob, but they have the Michelob Amber and Michelob Porter and stuff like that. So
the Amber Bach, isn't that Michelob?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And the number 1, go ahead, Mike.
Tonight is kind of special. Michelob. Right? Wasn't that their old line? Yes, so this is Michelob, minus 72%. And it's 175,000 barrels in 2010.
That's crazy.
That's a whole lot of beer that is now not being sold. I don't know what their numbers were before. I guess you could do the math, you know, 72% of whatever. But, I mean, that's a whole hell of a lot of beer. And I'd like to think that craft beer's got a nice little chunk of that and hope to see it grow in the years to come.
Yep.
So, yeah, speaking of good beer.
Yeah. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link. We'll have this posted there. Give us your thoughts, or at least, you know, go to the link and see. It's cool. They put in these little tidbits, you know, about each of the beer. You know, they got some history behind each beer and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topics link. Check it out. Next up, more beer.
Yeah. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okie doke, this is Toby out west. It's for my cream ale this week. Brought back a little something from Portland. This is the Kiwanda Cream Ale from Pelican Pub and Brewery out of Pacific City, Oregon. Kiwanda. Pelican has been around since 1996. There's a cool little story about a couple that wanted to open up a restaurant and brew beer. And they actually went to a brewer's festival in Oregon somewhere. I'm not sure. You can find this out on their website. But they basically put a notice up on a cork board and said basically like looking for a brewer or looking for help starting a brewery.
It's like they do that, like trying to start a band, looking for lead guitarist, looking for singer, looking for drummer.
And they met a guy who was a brewer, and there you go, 1996, they opened their doors right there in Pacific City.
Oh, that's a great story.
Go to yourlittlebeachtown.com/pelican to find out more information and read the cute little story about the history of Pelican Pub and Brewery. This style is a pre-prohibition cream ale. That's what they call it.
Ooh.
With an ABV of 5.4%, 25 IBUs. I am going to crack it. And since Gina is here in the room, I'm going to have to split it with her.
Damn it! Glug, glug.
Very pale in color. Very clear.
As a cream ale should be.
Oh, very, yeah. This is like golden yellow in color. I got about a finger and a half off-white foamy head.
That's like a Yeti pinky, I think.
Yeah. It's sticking around pretty good so far. The ingredients, the hops, it's a single hop beer, Mount Hood hops. The malts are two row malt and flaked barley and carapils. So yeah, very clear.
These guys are good, because I'm going to suggest this to a local bar in Portland if these guys are good.
Mmm. This smells interesting. I'm going to pour a little bit here for Gina. She can get a little spot of this. She actually has to come over here and get it, though. Very, like,
we
dirty.
We got to invest in some wireless headphones.
Yeah. Dirty on the nose. There's a, like, a lemony, citrusy, like, a zest. Yeah, it's, like, very lemony.
If like worms and dirt were crawling on lemons, say that kind of lemon.
An earthy,
it's
dirty
really
lemon.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Nice. I like my lemon.
Smells good, it's though.
Dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't smell bad.
There's even like a faint, like stinky
this
malt.
I didn't realize this beer's actually won quite a few awards.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. I didn't
I'll read
catch
them while
that.
You take a sip.
All right, I'm doing it.
They won the silver medal in 2011 for the North American Beer Awards. They also won a gold medal in 2011 for the North American Beer Awards.
It's a good, like, crisp, tangy, almost, summer offering. Like, this is a good lawnmower beer. It's refreshing. It finishes very like dry but yet somewhat sticky.
Is it almost like a cream
good
lager?
Body, though.
Yeah. As opposed beer, to like a cream ale. Sure. Not that there is a cream lager, I guess, but
there's yeah. There's it finishes nice. It has a nice aftertaste, but like good mouthfeel, but then there's not
a wide flavor profile.
Like you said, cream lager, it's pretty close to that, I would say, because it does have that more of like a crisp zippiness, totally different from the Anderson Valley. Anderson Valley was very smooth and soft and very low carbonation. This one, you really get the carbonation on the mouthfeel, and you really get those IBUs. I mean, I know it's only 25, but you do get that bitterness. You could pick up on it way more so than anything in the Anderson Valley. So these are two completely different beers. The cream, I wouldn't have guessed, if I was to do a blind taste test, I wouldn't really guess that this was a cream ale. I would go more along the lines of like a pale ale or like maybe even an amber, but a less malty amber, I guess.
Like a blonde?
Maybe like a blonde, perhaps. Yeah. It's not bad. I actually kind of dig it. Jean is talking smack about it, but she doesn't.
I was excited by the smell, and then nothing.
Yeah. There is that grassy lemoniness, though, too. I'm also picking up on that.
Yeah.
And the aftertaste.
Not bad. It's just not what I expect.
Well, yeah. I mean, surprisingly enough, like we mentioned a couple awards, but they actually got actually the top 25 beers in the world from Draft Magazine
wow.
in 2010. And then they got a silver medal in the Australian International Beer Awards, which is funny because I always think Pelican sounds like it should be said with an Australian accent.
Yeah.
like Pelican.
This is I don't want to. I think that this might be their flagship, but I'm not sure. Because this is the this is the first time. Oh, yeah, this is a
new brewery.
First time I've done them on the show.
Actually, they have a nice group of seasonals. They have like three different summer beers. But yeah, I'd be curious to try some offerings from these guys.
They've got a lot of buzz, like of all of the the beer stuff that I do in the community, as far as like reading up on tweets and Facebook stuff and beernews.org and stuff like that. I see Pelican pop up every now and then, so it's one of those ones that I think is probably very popular in Oregon.
Was it Ninkasi? Seems to be, there's a lot of buzz about them.
Yeah, Ninkasi, they've been around for a couple years now.
Yeah.
They're out of Eugene. Want to say something?
Are you going to put it on? Because if you're going to put it in, then I need to say that I take it back. It's a good beer. Like, it's a good, solid beer. It's just that when I smelled it, and after having that other one, I kind of, my expectations were a little bit, like, that there was going to be more. But really, like, I don't want to be whoever, the beer advocate people or the rate beer people who think that if it's not raw,
right.
It's not good. Yeah. It's a good beer. It's drinkable. It has flavor. It has body. It just wasn't what I expected upon first sniff and sip.
So the check from Pelican Pub and Brewery must have just cleared, and Gina checked the checking account.
Yeah,
it's in there, so that's why she gave the positive review.
I don't want it to go on record that I said their beer was shit.
Yes, so Rate Beer gave this a 58 out of 100 and a B+ from the Beer Advocate users. That's
check
the
out their website.
Kiwanda.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, they got a pretty cool website.
Cool looking. It's what is it? It was a weird URL, right? Was it
yourlittlebeachtown.com/pelican.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
For my tasting flight, guess what? I got another can.
All right.
That's right. This is from a 6 Point. This is their Sweet Action. That's right. This beer is from 6 Point Craft Ales out of Brooklyn, New York.
Nice.
That's right. Their website is www.sixpoint.com. This is their cream ale. The ABV on this beer is 5.2%. The IBUs are a whopping 34. That's high for this show.
Yeah. The highest.
Yeah. I'm going to just crack it.
I do like their website, Mike. It's cool. It's all like... It's like an old newspaper from like the early 1900s.
Yeah, like I like all the different fonts and stuff they use too. It's cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I love some of the old photos they have, which they explain their logo, where they got the 6-point star. It's basically a combination of the nautical star and the 6-point star that the Brewers have. That hexa, the what do they call it? I forget. There's the Brewers star that it's like a 6-point star that has a C in the middle of it. I forget what it's called.
For Brewers?
Anyway. Yeah. It's old. It's an old symbol.
Huh.
That's where they ended up getting it from. But, all right. On the pour here, it's a hazy orange. I'm just assuming it's a little bit of a, just kind of a chill haze going on, because although it's settling kind of a little bit more up on the top. No head. I should have poured a little bit more aggressively, because I've had this beer a little while back and got like a nice kind of creamy head on the top of it. On the nose, like a citrusy, like citrus biscuits.
Mmm. Love me some citrus biscuits.
There's some like a lemon honey, almost like
marmalade.
Like you get kind of like lemon and honey and like a throat lozenge or something like that. It's got that minus the medicinal aroma.
Excuse me.
A little bit of faint something else in here. Can't quite pinpoint it, but it's got that funky dry hoppy smell.
Yeah, I like it.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It tastes like it smells. It's got a citrusy, stinky, hoppy flavor, and the sweetness and creaminess is there as well. But it dries right back up at the end. It's not as creamy smooth as the Summer Solstice was, but it's still pretty creamy.
Does it taste dry hopped?
This is definitely it kind of does, yeah. It kind of has that. Yes, it totally tastes like a dry hopped beer for sure.
You know what?
It's a very American version, I guess, of cream ale.
I am excited to be, you know, moving away from the like IPAs and the whatever, and getting into the more fall beers and then into the winter beers. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about becoming a malty man for the rest of the year.
Yes, me too.
But
that's how I started. I was out last night and got like some dark lagers and some smoked black lagers, and started thinking, man, I can't wait to like sit down and have the porters and the stouts,
yeah,
and whatnot. But
I'm itching to get my hands on the Estate Ale from Sierra Nevada, which will be coming out, I think, late September. I think that's when it's supposed to be bottled and put on the shelves. So. And, you know, the Estate Ale is some sweet hoppy goodness, so I think that'll probably be my last big hoppy beer until Celebration comes out.
Right.
And then you get into, like, the winter warmers and stuff where, you know, they're hoppy, but yet they have that spiciness that kind of takes a little bit more of front seat to than the hops. But anyway, sorry, Mike.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to get other things out of here, and I want to say I'm like an orange blossom, because there's something citrusy but floral about this, even in the taste. It's pretty good.
Did you have the hops? Did you say what hops they use, or could you not get it?
You know what? I didn't see what hops they use.
No, they don't even say.
And I didn't even think to kind of email out this one to try to get the info. I should probably do that for every beer, just in, you know, that I can't find. But that's my fault. Bad coaster.
Well, you know, sometimes you just don't ever get a response. So, you know.
That's true.
Excuse me.
The I wanted to, I'm not sure, like, I'm thinking of a food pairing here. And man, this is a tough one. Because I like the beer batter thing. I think this is a good, and I know I pair beers with this from time to time, but I think like a good beer batter, fish and chips would be good with this beer. It may be kind of a boring pairing because I've probably picked it several times, but I just think it's good. It would be good with a beer like this. It's got some hoppiness and the creaminess, and just, I don't know, just for me, that'd be a good pairing.
I like
either
it.
That or like a chicken pasta dish would be nice too. If you're kind of, you know, not at a pub and go to, you know, like a bit nicer restaurant or whatnot. Rate Beer rates this 83 out of 100, and Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers rate it an A.
So when you say you would have this out at a fancy restaurant, do you think they would bring the can to your table and crack it for you?
Yeah, and crack it for me.
Your beer, sir.
Crack.
Like, oh, now, yeah.
I can say that these craft beers out of a can are really, really nice. Like, there's something that just...
Yeah.
I mean, it tastes fresher out of the can, you know? Yeah, don't be fooled by the cans, folks. Craft beer in a can is kick-ass.
As long as you pour it into a glass, though.
You heard it here first. Yeah, don't drink it out of the can. You can do that. You might as well just jam a pen in one side and then crack the top. Put your mouth
shotgun the damn thing. Yeah, there you go. See, that was some Dale's Pale Ale at like $8 a six-pack.
Exactly. Yeah, suck that one down. But if you get a chance, check out... They got another handful of brews here. Check out their website, sixpoint.com. This one is the Sweet Action from Six Point Craft Ales.
Love the name. It's a tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week, yeah. Gateway Groupie says, did I really just buy 3 beer and cheddar cheese cupcakes iced with cheddar and cream cheese frosting topped with bacon? # working with boys. Tweet of the week,
yeah. Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
All right, time for some backwash. All right, this week's backwash comes from Malt Porter.
Malt Porter.
The coolest name in the beer social network. This is part of the Swedish Beer Geek Clan, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So Malt says, or Mr. Porter, or to be more formal, great pod episode as usual. Hear that? As usual. That's right.
Thank you.
Another great episode from us. Hopefully this one is too. All right. So it says, even if I can't get the most out of the new beer app you guys were talking about, because I'm not living in the U.S., I still ended up buying it. So I could get some fast and easy facts on a brewery. But I think that Untappd is a much better app because the worldwide, what is it? Because it's worldwide. I'm sorry, no offense to Malt Porter, but it's a bit of broken English here. So I'm trying.
Mike just can't read.
Yeah, that's true too.
He can't even read regular English.
That's true. I have a tough time with that too. But he says that Untappd is a much better app because it's worldwide. And he used it in locations both in here in the U.S. as well as Sweden. There was some backwash for you. And yes, Mike, I'm jealous. Sorry, couldn't spell it. And then it says the 120-minute IPA tasting. Yes, he was very jealous of the the 120-minute IPA tasting. And so were the other coasters, by the way. Yes, they're yes. very jealous. I got so lucky with that. I really
Damn
can't.
You.
Yeah. But anyway, he says, cheers. And that's from Malt. And thanks, Malt. We really appreciate it. That's kind of cool that you are, you know, using the Untappd and the Beer Prophet.
The Beer Prophet app is what he's talking about. The last week we talked about the Beer Prophet app, and that's what he downloaded. It's 99 cents, and it's if you listen to last week's show, you get more of a in-depth breakdown. Yeah.
And we'll re-review it, so to speak. We're going to get a chance to use it a little bit more. But in all honesty, it's tough when I think we're kind of invested in something like Untappd to just kind of break free and do something else. But to do it in conjunction with one another, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Malt.
Yeah.
Last call.
Last call. Damn skibby.
That's right, folks. Last call for alcohol. Toby, Pat Reans.
Okay, Anderson Valley, Summer Solstice, Cerveza Crema. Great beer. It's awesome. I mean, I know, Mike, this is one of your faves. I always enjoy the Cerveza Crema. I wouldn't really put it as a summer beer for me. It's funny that it is their summer beer, but to me this leans more towards the fall. So maybe like an end of summer, you know, because it just doesn't have the crispness. This is more of like a smooth,
but does
earthy,
any Anderson
creamy.
Valley really have a crispness to it?
That's true. A lot of their beers, it must be like
buttery.
Yeah, it must be a yeast strain that they use or whatever that that gives, you know, all their beers that certain butteriness. I'm going to go with 4 pints. Really like this beer. Yeah. I will drink it time and time again. It's great. It's tasty, smooth, super easy drinking. Yeah, it's definitely a pleaser.
Is that your one word description?
Oh, my one word description, I was going to go with donuts.
I like that. It's yeah. funny that you say that because I was going to say cake. Well, I was thinking, is buttercream one word? Because if it is, then I'd like to go with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to go with that. Buttercream. Yeah. For me, for the summer solstice, I'll let you get back to your tasting flight after. We'll kind of go back and forth here.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
For me, the Anderson Valley Summer Solstice, a Cerveza Crema, I gave it 4.5. And I really, really like this beer. I think it's top-notch. And I think it is just kind of lacking that. It just needs to be that little bit crisper. But it's still phenomenal. I really like Anderson Valley beers. There's very few breweries that kind of have that very kind of butter creamy
signature
smoothness to it, you know.
Anderson Valley does have
rating on that.
They have their own flavor, their own style. You know, it's signature beers from Anderson Valley. When you drink one, you pretty much know it's them.
Yeah.
And you're going with buttercream? Is that your?
Buttercream. Yeah.
One word. All right.
And well, unless creme brulee is like one word, that'd go with that. That's kind of the flavor too that I think comes out. Anyway,
For the Pelican Pub and Brewery Kiwanda Cream Ale, I really liked it, man. It ended up being not really what I expected. It's crisp, it's light, it's slightly bitter, it's lemony. I wouldn't really go so far as to say it's a cream ale. To me, it doesn't strike me as a cream ale at all. It's more of like a pale ale. And I was telling Mike, off mic, that it reminded me of the Blue Heron from Mendocino that I just had on the pale ale Pale Ales 2 issue that we just had. A malty, like, pale ale, even though it's not really that malty. But anyway, I liked it. I'm going to go 3.5. It's definitely something to check out. And for my one word, I was picking, my one word would be trees. Because
we're going to have some interesting ones here.
It has this, like, I don't know, it's like a leafy, lemony, blossomy earthiness about it that, to me, reminded me of trees, like sitting in an orchard or something like that, or a forest.
Mm. All right.
So I'm going with trees, bull.
Trees. All right. All right, so for my tasting flight, the 6-point craft ales, a sweet action. Really nice, hoppy cream ale. It was almost, I would say, almost like a combination between kind of a, almost like an IPA and a cream ale. Not quite that, but there's this dry hoppiness that was really, really nice about this beer. I'm going to give it the same. I'm going to give it 4.5. For different reasons. One's kind of buttery malt, and the other is nice, kind of dry, hoppy goodness. So, yeah, that's my rating on that one. For one word, man, for that one, that's tough.
First thing pops in your head.
Well, I was thinking of, like grass, but it's more of like a flavor description, which we're kind of supposed to stay away from, so...
No, it's cool. Grass. I put trees.
It's true. Grass and trees, yeah. All right, then I'm going for grass.
Fresh cut or...
No, this would be candied grass.
Oh, candied grass. Candied grass. And don't forget, you can follow us on a multiple... a huge line of social media sites, including Twitter, Facebook, Untappd, Google+. Yeah. Check us out. And you can also subscribe to the show in iTunes. And now, we just realized recently...
It's apparently been going on for a long time. And we've missed it.
Callisto.fm. CALLISTO.FM. You can listen to the show right there.
Yeah. All our shows are there, too.
They're cool. All there. All 120 of them. Yeah. Check it out.
Nice. And, well, now 121. Check out our Wiggity website. It's beercoasterspodcast.com. All kinds of cool stuff there. New stuff that I want to mention. I think I've mentioned it last week or possibly the week before that I put Toby's Beer Coaster Daily up on the website now. It's taken place of the blog. I call it the Bruise Paper. You just click on that, take you to Beer Coasters Daily, and there's lots of cool little beer submissions. There's some strange ones on there.
Today was a few days ago.
Not today, but earlier in the week. It was just some weird stuff. But lots of beer stuff. It's cool, so check it out. Among other things, we get the shop link for swag and of course Backwash. We love the Backwash. Keep the Backwash coming. The more the merrier. It's backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave audio Backwash. The number is 339-225-9274. If you're with a group of guys hanging out at a beer pub, you know, a beer
getting
bar,
drunk.
Brew pub, getting drunk, give us a call. Let us know what you think about the beer. And, yeah, we'll play it on the show.
And don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends about the show. Check it out. Thank you so much for listening.
We really do appreciate all our listeners.
All subscribers.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
That's right.
Support your local... That's still you, right?
Yeah, you got a lot of editing to do this week. yeah, support your local brewery, brew pubs, etc. Drink local, because local is fresh.
It is, man. Love me some fresh beer.
Yep.
And of course, don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
A reminder to
drive
all...
sober or get pulled over.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that's the new one.
A reminder to all our listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Quick shout out. Malt Porter. Yeah. Thanks for sending us some backwash, hitting us up on Facebook.
I want to give a shout out to Tom in LA. He was up in Boston earlier this week, and I got a chance to get out and have a couple beers, and really appreciate that. And
That's
had a great
cool,
time,
man.
Had some good beers. We'll probably talk about them a little bit more in the upcoming weeks. Hopefully we'll get some backwash from Tom, and I'll give my input on it as well.
And hey, we posted this on Facebook earlier in the week, or over the weekend last week. Chris, our very own Beer Coaster Chris, was on ChazCast. That it came out in July, like July 21st or something like that. But he was at the North Texas Beer Festival, and he sat down with Chaz, and Chaz asked him about the Beer Coasters podcast. So it's pretty cool. We will. Is it ChazCast? Yeah, we'll post a link on the show description, so you'll see it right there when you go to the website for this week's show. Check it out; it's pretty cool, man.
Mentions like a few podcasting tips and stuff as well.
Yeah, so, I think that's what ChazCast is all about. He's like finds people that do podcasts, and he gets their tips and like about their podcast. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's like a podcast about podcasts.
Yeah. Right.
It's pretty cool.
Whoa.
Check it out.
Meta. All
right. Cheers.
Yes.
See you next week. What are we doing next week?
Next week is, since this was the end of our summer, next week is fall releases.
Yep. Check it out. Yay. Fall release beers, baby.
Release. Cheers again.
Cheers.
Thrice. Dip your donut in this. I can't even say it. Say that for me. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's how it goes. That's my pint ratings. Waiting for Toby to pick up the next line. There we go. Like, oh, me, yeah.